Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Smirnoff Live. I am your host, Rob Smirnoff Huzzle, for Wednesday night, February 10, 2016. And on this edition of Smirnoff Live, we will be reviewing, CJ and I, as always, the latest episode of Supergirl, which was this past Monday, entitled For the Girl Who Has Everything. Now, I'll just read you what Wikipedia has as far as the plot line. A mysterious plant known as Black Mercy places Kara in a dream-like state that has her imagining that she is back on Krypton thanks to a plot by Non, who is using Earth's technology to launch Marid, which he and Astra are planning to use to wipe out humanity. Alex, Pink, Wynn, Maxwell and James race against time to save Kara, with Alex entering Kara's world to pull her out and bring Kara back to reality. When Kara comes back, she seeks revenge on Non and stops him, but Astra, who wanted Kara unharmed and upset with Non, is killed by Alex before Astra could kill Hank, who fought her as the Martian Manhunter, only to have Hank tell Kara that he killed Astra instead of Alex, who starts to feel guilty over this and whether she should tell Kara the truth. Non vows revenge on Kara in the wake of Astra's death. Now, on the line, I just wanted to bring on Mr. CJ of Whitman and Marcuson Productions. CJ.
What up? Hey, I want to say, first of all, I understand now what Vince McMahon's mentality is. I understand it. You know, he likes people that have no lives to work for him or with him, because then you can call them up at any time. They'll drop what they're doing and they can get some stuff done that they need to get done. I got the book. I got myself a copy of the actual story. I did not get a chance to read it, but I have it, and I'll, you know, if we ever want to review that, we can, because we can both read it, because I can send it to you. As for an adaptation, I thought it was fantastic. You know, they took... you know, it's been adapted before in other mediums like cartoons or animation. It was worthy of its adaptation. I mean, they were able to replace the characters, of course, you know, Wonder Woman and Batman. And they were able to, you know, take that. And what's awesome is this is now they outdid themselves. Remember last week we were talking about how it wasn't a really good episode. This episode was a million times better. I enjoyed every moment of it.
Not to interrupt you, but it took a little bit for me to kind of get into it, you know. But then it got real good because the drama and the action, there was a lot more action.
And these shows, they have to parse out the action, you know. It costs money to do that action. So they had to use the action wisely. You have to use it wisely and where it counts. And I thought they did a great job doing that. I was surprised that her aunt got killed. I was very surprised. I did not see that coming. It was cool to see Martian Manhunter fully, you know, we've seen him only a few times, but we got to see him in action. That was very cool. I liked how he was Kara at the Catco. I thought that was very good. I think it was a solid episode. I'm really looking forward to March, actually, because last night's episode of The Flash, he was going through the vortex or the wave holes, basically, to Earth 2, and you saw Supergirl. You saw Kara. You saw Melissa Benoist. For a split second, there were lots of Easter eggs. I'm looking forward to that crossover. I think this episode was a great... first of all, it was a good adaptation. I thought it was solid. I thought it was interesting that, what's his name, the businessman who... I forgot that he got put into that glass thing.
You talking about Maxwell Lord?
Yeah, I forgot Maxwell got put in that thing. So when I saw that, I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot all about that. Because they thought he was behind it. And, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know? So they had to team up. So he's an anti-hero, basically. That's where we're at. You know, sometimes the villain does have to team up with the hero for the betterment of everybody involved.
Yeah, the show.
You know, there were some great plot devices in there. I thought it was a solid episode. I thought it was way better than the Toyman episode.
Yeah, the Toyman episode was kind of.
I like the Easter egg in the Toyman episode, but here's the thing: they're adapting a very good writer work. That's a comic, you know, Alan Moore, you know, Watchmen, Alan Moore, you know, V for Vendetta, Killing Joke.
That was an excellent movie, by the way, V for Vendetta.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think Alan Moore was paid for using this story either. Because he doesn't take money from anything that's adapted. It all goes to the artist. He didn't take money from V for Vendetta. He didn't take money for Watchmen. You know, he's a fantastic writer. He's a weird dude. This is me saying it. He's a weird dude. Weird British dude. Very, 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 like, he makes me look like a Republican. I'll put it to you that way.
Wow.
Yeah,
you're so not Republican.
Yeah, I know. He makes me look like a Republican. That should tell you something about Alan Moore. He's a very influential writer for many people. He's very British. His stories are very unique in that way. And this was a very, you know, like I said, I have not read the story. But from what I know of the story, because, you know, the plot breakdown of the story and what happens, and I've seen it adapted before, it's a good adaptation of an Alan Moore story. As for the actual content that's going on, the story, I thought it was a nice pace. I thought it was paced very well. You know, we had the action. We had some, you know what I mean? It wasn't all action. It wasn't all drama. It was just paced very well. I thought the performances were very good. I loved... You know what? When you're watching a show, I don't know about you. When you're watching a show, you get into the show, right?
Yeah, you lose... suspend your... disbelief, yeah.
I forgot that Kara was playing Martian Manhunter as Kara. I believe that was Martian Manhunter playing Kara. I forgot that that was the actual actress when I'm watching it.
Yes.
I forgot that it was Melissa Benoist playing Martian Manhunter.
She's done such a great job with both Kara and Supergirl.
But the fact that she was playing another character as Martian Manhunter that morphed into, I forgot that it was the actual actress doing that. I really believed while I was watching it that was Martian Manhunter as pretending to be Kara. I really believed that when I was watching. My disbelief was suspended. That should tell you something, you know. When I get into these shows, if they're really good and they're solid, I really get into them. I get sucked into them, And I thought the episode was very good. I enjoyed it. I don't know where they're going to go from here other than Non. Because, this version of Non has not been lobotomized like the one in Superman 2. Because that's why Non was the way he was in Superman 2. He was lobotomized. This Non is a super-powered evil genius. So I thought was very...
There's a lot they can do. There's a lot they can
I loved Krypton. I loved the economical way they showed Krypton as well. Very economical, but it worked. All taking place in one room, Kara's house, waking up in her parents' house. Seeing little Kal-El, that was cool too as well. Guess what? Here's the thing about little Kal-El. He was a baby when she left.
Right.
But because it's like she never left, he's a little kid. He was actually a baby when she left, So I was a solid episode. I thought the idea that she really believed she was there. I loved when Alex went into her head. I loved when she was getting those hits in the guts like that. I was like, holy crap. I'm feeling she's selling them. You want to talk about good selling? She was selling those hits, dude.
Yeah, she was. And then she started attacking the Kryptonians that had her. She's pretty hot herself.
Yeah, but she was tough. She was tough, and she was selling. Maybe WWE people should be watching that.
Well, you heard about Daniel Bryan's retirement. That's been the buzz.
I've heard about it. I'm not seeing it. I heard also about it because, I listened to Seattle radio show, Danny Bonaduce and Sarah Morning Show. I heard about that on there because they were in Seattle or Washington, where Everdeen. I heard he retired. I can't get it. Is everybody really that surprised?
No, I'm not.
I've heard rumors for the last 2 years. Hasn't he been out of the ring for like 2 years now?
It's been more or less the last year or so. He tried to come back. He won the Intercontinental title.
I haven't watched. I haven't watched in years, and I watched WWE Network for a little while from a friend. I watched the Monday Night War documentaries and rivalries. That's about it. That's the extent I've seen from WWE. I'm going to tell you something. These shows from DC, I'll even give Marvel, props. On Netflix, their Netflix shows. They're better action, better drama, better, I understand, there's a difference in the medium. I understand that. But, I almost said the F word.
We've gone almost an entire episode without actually using profanity, which I'm surprised.
I didn't use it. You only heard the...
Well, it is a rated R show.
I know, but, I got to keep my nose clean a bit. But my point is this, if WWE wants to stay relevant, they should see what's going on in pop culture right now. seriously.
Well, a couple
By the
of
way,
others...
I didn't even realize Titus O'Neil, like, I'm not, Titus O'Neil got suspended. And by the way, because of my company Twitter, by the way, Glickmark Pro, at Glickmark Pro, you know, I follow Batista on there because, you know, he's an actor now. He's really not in the business. I follow some people in the wrestling business still, but Batista says Titus O'Neil should ask for his release.
Hmm.
Straight up, tell Vince you want a release. Because I'm thinking, you know, because apparently Titus was suspended. Do you know what's going on with that? I think I got Titus O'Neil confused for a second with Ashley.
No, Titus O'Neil is a tall black dude. He's got a lot of charisma. He's got a body. He can work for big men style. What happened was that at the end of the Daniel Bryan tribute, where all the wrestlers came out to the stage and were giving them an applause, at the end of the show, Vince, and I noticed that, Vince was walking to the back, and Titus had, like, pushed him, like, in a playful way or grabbed him, and then Vince got pissed off and pushed him back. And as a result of that, Titus O'Neil has been suspended by WWE for 90 days, 3 months.
And no pay, right?
He's probably on a guaranteed contract. I don't know, but
I don't see him on a guaranteed contract. I don't see someone like Titus on a guaranteed contract. Let me tell you something, dude. People are gonna work people as long as they can, and I understand. Vince not wanting to work with people with lives. I mean, look what he allegedly said to Vince Russo back in the day, which Vince Russo loves to talk about so he can get fired up. Don't I pay you enough to hire nannies to take care of your children? Because honestly, I see where he's coming from now. Here I am building a company, you know, busting my butt. And, you know, people have lives, unfortunately. I've chosen not to have one. I've chosen to make this my life. And in my leisure time, you know, enjoying what I'm into. But, you know, I don't understand why, you know, apparently, you know, Vince shoved back. You know, I think it's kind of weird. Now that I know what you just said, I think it's kind of weird. It feels... Something doesn't feel right about that.
If
John Cena did it, would he have gotten suspended?
Probably not, because, I mean, that's their moneymaker and Cena's out. But at the same time, you can't go around pushing your boss. You know,
the same boss who will take a bump in the ring.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Even at 70 years old, I mean, I could see a 30-day suspension, but 90's kind of, you know, a work or not. I mean, you can't go around pushing your boss. So I kind of see both sides of the coin.
I mean, it was a playful way, and yeah, knowing what I've allegedly heard about Vince McMahon, now I don't know if it's necessarily true, but isn't the WWE like family? Hey, you know, playfully pushing him. I mean, did you actually see the push?
It was the wrong time. It was the wrong time and the wrong place for it because, you know, that was Daniel Bryan's night and CM Punk. His UFC debut has been pushed back because he has a herniated disc and supposedly went under the knife, had back surgery today.
I honestly am done with CM Punk. I don't care anymore. It is, dude, that's like, remember Godzilla 1998?
Yeah.
You remember the hype that came out 2 years before the movie came out?
Mm-hmm.
Once the movie came out, the hype was, it was overhyped. I mean, you know, honestly, and the thing is, CM Punk burned way too many bridges on his way out. I mean,
yeah.
David Jason, Jason David Frank from Power Rangers, Green Ranger. You know, he's a UFC guy.
Yeah.
JDF, yeah, Jason David Frank. He's obsessed with CM Punk, dude.
But in real life, he would kill CM Punk. And that's
yeah, he's obsessed
Punk
with
never...
him. He's pissed off that CM Punk is on a video game cover.
Yeah, and the thing about Jason David Frank, he is a true martial artist. You know, take Power
yeah.
Rangers out of the equation. He would
well,
kick
he added to that. I
CM
mean,
Punk's
well,
ass without even trying, dude. CM Punk can do all the jiu-jitsu and all the cardio and get himself ready, but and as much as straight edge as I am and love CM Punk, dude, Jason David Frank would kick his ass, and that's just,
without
even trying.
And,
that's
why he's not going to fight him. That's why he doesn't want to fight him. They're going to, you know, I think the hype has killed, you know, now we've all been, you know, especially people in media and my thing, you know, Kevin Smith has been guilty of this back in the day. He would announce a project way ahead of time and then it wouldn't happen. You know, that's why now I'm keeping my productions and what's going on, you know, under wraps until it's absolutely time to talk about them. Because we got
right.
them in the works. Because, you know, that hype, remember that all that hype, it's dying. At this point, honestly, I'm not compelled now to watch him fight. Why would I pay to watch him fight? When he left and he was talking all that talk, you know, and, you know, I know we're supposed to talk about Supergirl. I mean, it was a great episode. You should watch it.
Right.
I mean,
we pretty much already talked about it, and there's really not much more to talk about. I think there's three more episodes.
Other than what's going on in pop culture, I mean, you know, and it apparently, you know, like I said, Batista put out a very interesting tweet. Like I told you, I have been working my Twitter. Anybody that's listening, you know, my website will be up probably within a few hours because, you know, I've been busting my ass doing that. I've been working on Twitter, literally, bringing in a bunch of followers. We're at 58,700 followers. That's actually a drop. That's after dropping 15,000 followers.
Damn.
I'm still up. You know, we had, you know, almost 100,000 at one time. But, you know, we had things, you know, you have to keep working it, you know. We got actually some big actors following us. We got some primetime actors on TV on the same network Superman or Supergirl's on. TV show Scorpion, one of the main characters are following us. One of the main actors in that show is following us. So when I followed Batista and he said, Titus O'Neil should ask for his effing release. I'm sub-quoting, paraphrasing.
Right.
He thought it was BS, no? So I'm thinking, you know, what's going on in WWE right now, business-wise?
Well, they're trying. WrestleMania is what it is. They got so many people injured out right now, and it's gut check time. You know, we're eight weeks away from WrestleMania.
Are the ratings still going up?
Last night's ratings, Monday night's ratings. It was an average of about 3.7. So, yeah, the ratings are doing pretty steady. I mean, but that was because of the retirement. You know, when they book a good show, then they have good ratings. It doesn't
but
take rocket science.
Was it an actual good show other than Daniel Bryan retiring?
Yeah,
it was
pretty solid. It was a pretty solid show. Raw was pretty good. Better ones in months, but at the same time,
that's
you know.
The thing. It's about consistency, man, and they don't seem to understand that, you know. I'll give them this, you know, the I'm not even say attitude error. 10 years ago, they were about consistency. I mean, we're going to probably, next year, we're going to be hitting a decade since Benoit killed his wife and kid. You realize that? Next year, it'll be a decade when that incident happened.
Oh, sorry, you were saying what?
Next year, it'll be a decade after Benoit killed his wife and kid.
Yeah, I know.
Look how time flies by, dude.
Sound like it was yesterday when me and my boy were at my old apartment and we were watching that Raw, and I was in tears, but this is before I found out the truth.
Yeah, same here,
and
you know.
I still think there's more to it.
Even I watched Raw. Even I watched it. You know, I'm like, okay, I'll watch this tonight.
There's got to be more to that story, dude. I mean, yes, I read the book or I listened
to
the audio book.
They're still trying to get the movie made. They're still trying to get the movie made with Liv Schreider as Benoit. They've been trying to get that off the ground for the last 5 years. But my point is this: 10 years ago, they were kind of in a slump then. 10 years ago, and that's officially when the whole era ended. You know, the whole final legs. You know, it was post. It was after. Remember, Vince McMahon faked
the
death.
No, the aggression era. Yes. Yeah, so
Vince McMahon died.
Yeah, and he had to come out on TV and address the situation. By the way, we got about 2 minutes left. You want to do that after party, or you want to?
Let's do the after party. But you know, Vince McMahon faked his death and all that stuff. So you know, there was issues even before Benoit died. There was issues, you know, because I remember I was listening to this Kevin, the Minority Reports, you know, what's going on.
Don Tony Kevin Castle show.
Yeah, so there was, you know, issues back then. So they haven't been consistent in over a decade with their stuff. Serialized. They're trying to do serialized television, but their writing is inconsistent.
I got some more information about Titus O'Neil's suspension. I'll just read Dave Meltzer for me, and you know he's pretty consistent.
Yeah,
he's very,
Meltzer,
very consistent.
Yeah.
Dave Meltzer of F4WOnline.com reports that Titus O'Neil's suspension was reduced today from 90 days to 60 days. With that being said, he is still expected to miss WrestleMania, which that pretty much means of a big paycheck. O'Neil was informed at last night's SmackDown taping that he would be sent home for 90 days. At some point today, the decision was made to cut down the duration. No other details about the suspension has been revealed other than it was for unprofessional conduct when O'Neil grabbed Vince McMahon's arm at the end of the Daniel Bryan retirement segment. There has been a lot of speculation online that the suspension was done to send a message to the rest of the locker room that goofing off in a work environment will not be tolerated.
Yeah, says the guy who used to do coke with Hulk Hogan while they were writing Ready to Rumble. Yeah.
Yeah. 60 days. And he was getting a push there. He was consistently
on
Raw.
No holds barred. That's what I was thinking of. Vincent Hulk Hogan doing lines of coke while they were writing that crappy script. brother, can I get another line? Oh, yes. Hogan, what do you think? Should we have Zeus be a big, giant black man and beat the crap out of you, and then you rise up and you boulder out? Oh. And then he beats your brother up. And then he beats my brother. And then they're both sounding the same because, you know, they both have that voice. This is Vince McMahon. This is Hulk Hogan's brother. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. They're trying. See, here's what I've never understood. This whole, they're a corporate company. Okay, I get that. They're publicly traded. They were publicly traded in the Attitude Era. That's when they became a billion-dollar company. Right at the end of the Attitude Era. That's when they became a public. Now all of a sudden they're acting like, we have to do this because we're a publicly traded company. We have to, you know. I understand there's professionality. I understand that. No horsing around. Okay, great. But to send a message to the boys, and I guess the girls, I don't want to, you know, whatever, but it's a freaking locker room. You know what goes on in a locker room?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're playing video games nowadays.
Of course, you know. And also, but I mean, the NFL, they have to have standards as well because, oh, we don't want. You're trying to get a bunch of testosterone, men that are full of testosterone, allegedly steroids, steroided out, HGH, just, you know, flowing through their veins. They're young, dumb, and full of cum. To not horse around? You're trying to get a 21-year-old not to horse around? It's a locker room. You guys are play fighting, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, here's the interesting tidbit of news. Colorado marijuana sales skyrocketed to more than $996 million in 2015.
Colorado. Yeah.
Almost a billion dollars.
Let me tell you something about that. I would hear medicinal marijuana is what rules because everyone has a effing card. I have a card. By the way, I haven't gotten high since April. No, I haven't gotten high for a few months. I haven't medicated basically because I haven't had time. I mean, I can use it, you know, I would love to use it, and you know, but I have other things I need to do, but yeah, and the ironic thing about that is that they made all that money is it's still federally illegal.
Yeah,
so
it is.
These people, these stores, these businesses are paying federal taxes with illegal money. Oh, by the way, you can't have any jobs if you smoke marijuana in Colorado. They don't mention that. Because if you get a drug test, you get fired. They forget to mention that. You know, I'm all for marijuana legalization, what have you. I'm all for that. Because, you know, it's unfortunate people are incarcerated for those crimes. And I don't mean to pull the race card here, but most of the people that are incarcerated for marijuana are black.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, and that's a serious thing. That's a real statistic. Black Mexican minorities. Now, of course, there are whites, you know, because there's some people. There were people that were locked up back in the day that got arrested for a joint. I mean, got hard time for a joint in some places. I mean, it's a nonviolent crime. If you're smoking it, selling it is one thing, which is an issue, but if you're smoking it, you should not get in trouble for that. I mean, if you're responsible, you know, it's just like alcohol. Use it responsibly. I mean, hell, I don't really like smoking it anymore. I'd rather just, you know, use an edible or something, you know, or a vape. Or, you know, something like that, oils or what have you. Smoking it, that's old school. I mean, now that's old school, but that's an interesting statistic that, you know, Colorado made all this money in taxes. Because, by the way, the thing about that weed, I've heard this, the weed, yeah, it's taxed heavily and it's not high quality. And then I've heard some people say, oh, Oregon weed's better. Oregon's weed's not that better either. You know what's really good weed?
What's that?
Out here in Cali, medical grade, top shelf, diamond grade weed. Out here, where there's crystals on the weed. There's crystal. And guess what? It's less expensive than it is in Colorado. You know, I think that's interesting that they made all that money. You know, hey, you know, maybe, you know, I know Texas, they got steep penalties there, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, in Dallas, they're trying to make it to where if you're under a certain amount, think like an ounce, then it's just a traffic ticket. Well, not a traffic ticket, but it's like a fine, basically. If they stop you and if you just so happen to have weed in the car and you have under an ounce, then they're trying to make it's all about money at the end of the day. That's what this is all about.
I mean, that's how most towns make their money is tickets. There is a last week tonight of the British guy who hosts it. It's an HBO show, but they have it on YouTube, where they talk about how tickets are to make money. And if you don't pay your ticket right away, you get extra fines.
Yeah, jail time, you know. They're not messing around with that stuff.
You know, a lot of my things have, you know, I didn't necessarily see the world in rose-colored glasses, but, you know, a lot of things opened my eyes about certain things, you know, whether it's gay rights, race. I had no idea how bad, like, I thought people were making a big deal about the Oscars, but I saw the numbers. It was 90% white. Then there was 20% women. 20% women, I want you to think about that. 20% women, less 17 maybe, I think. I'm pulling them off the top of my head. My point is this. There used to be women presidents for SAG-AFTRA, the union for a Screen Actors Guild union. There was a woman president. There have been a few women presidents. So I always thought there was a lot of women in there. And then you have the number of blacks are barely... number of Hispanics. I'm just like, wait, all these people are in the business and you either get nominated or you're active in the business for a certain amount of time, you put in for to be let in, you know. I figured people got in. You know, it's a whole thing because, you know, a lot of these old guys, a lot of these old white men used to protest for civil rights. Because they're in their 60s, you know, they were around for the Martin Luther King thing. They were, you know, so it's not out of race. It's just it's just convoluted. So I'm glad I was shocked when I saw the numbers. You know, I was like, wow, okay, this is kind of a messed up, you know, situation. You know, because I am all for diversity, and I think it's sad that in this day and age that, you know, we have to even talk about diversity. It should be an automatic thing, you know?
I agree. Anything else you want to plug or you want to...
I would like to plug for the people listening on the download. Check us out, Glickmark Pro on Twitter, Glickman Markinson Productions on Facebook. Check out our, you know, follow us on Pinterest, follow us on Tumblr. Check out our website. It should be up tonight, glickmarkpro.com. We are spreading like herpes in a tour bus.
Wow. Alright, man. Well, I think I'm going to wrap this up. I got to get some sleep, get to the
JLB
tomorrow.
Yeah, man, have a good day tomorrow, man. Have a good day tomorrow.
Yeah, I need it. All right,
go grind and make that bank, bro.
All right. Everyone on the download, thank you for listening to this edition of Smirnoff Live. I am Rob Smirnoff Puzzle, and y'all have a good rest of the week and weekend, and we'll check with you next week.